Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
For this Advent season, we have been going through some of the different prophets who, while speaking to the people of God about the situation that they were in, their words were embodied in Jesus Christ and became kind of the hope for the Messiah, but also fulfilled in who Jesus was. And the prophet Zephaniah that we're going to be reading from, he is a prophet that, I don't know about you, is sometimes a prophet that's easy to forget even in the Bible. Like when it comes to Z's, for whatever reason, my mind goes to Zechariah, and I'm like, Zephaniah, who's that again? Like, I was looking at my notes. This is actually the first time I've preached from him, too. Like, of all the books in the Bible, you know, I find myself going elsewhere. He says, but Zephaniah is an interesting prophet. Unlike all the other prophets, he is sharing his message in the midst of good times. Most of the prophets, they were warning them about things that were about to happen, about an exile that was about to happen, about an incoming army. Zephaniah speaks to them after a time of great renewal, after a time when the country has returned to God. It's during King Josiah's reign in 1st, 2nd Kings. If you read that, you'll find that he's a king who restores their worship to God. He's one who gets rid of their idols and gets rid of the ways in which they had been wronging the poor in their nation. He's following the rules of God according to the law. And Zephaniah has good news for them. He has a joyous message for them. And I want to read that for you today. I'm going to read actually the tail end of it. It's in Zephaniah chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get a pew Bible. I probably should have got a pew Bible to tell you the page number because, well, I know it's up here, but I know it can be hard to find. Just three short chapters. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He's turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I'll change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the prophet Zephaniah speaking to the people of God, having just come through some hard times. They have come through the times of unfaithful rulers, of unfaithfulness in their families and the generations before them. But they've started to turn back to the Lord, and the prophet here is telling them, there are great things for you to understand. The Lord has remembered you, and the Lord is restoring you. There are many moments in life that kind of go from like bad moments to good moments. Moments where we recognize that somehow, some way, we made it through. When months and months of a fruitless job hunt becomes a job offer, something terrible, something that's hard to live through becomes good news. When someone goes home from the hospital after struggling to breathe, that is great news. And you start to see, yes, God has seen us through. When a lifetime of guilt is lifted through forgiveness. When a wartime soldier comes home. when a difficult labor yields a breathing infant. These are moments that are filled with joy, moments that through the whole ordeal have a sense of expectation, have a sense of yearning, a sense of we can't wait for the end or we can't wait for the fulfillment of what we're hoping for. And that is, of course, what this season is about, this yearning, this advent, this expectation that something new is coming. They are moments that are filled with joy. There's always in those moments a feeling of a second chance, a new beginning, a sense that providence and blessing has been given where earlier there had been worry or there had been despair or there had been trepidation about where the future was going to lead. And this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, is a Sunday that marks joy because we dare in this season, in a season of expectation, to live in joy. That even, like, this is the darkest season of the year, right? Like, this is where things get, you know, darker. The sun is still, you know, not coming up as often as we would like, as early and staying up as late as we would like. This is the time when, you know, you don't get to say, well, I wonder when we get a warm spell. No, we're wondering when the cold snap comes. like that, it's just that season, right? So, but yet, we remember that there is a God who is always with us, and there is a God who plans deliverance. Even when the long-awaited Messiah has not yet come in his fullness that we have hoped for, yet there is joy in the expectation. And so Zephaniah is expressing this joy and expressing it in saying, here's what the Lord has done. And he says, first off, he says, the Lord has taken away judgments. The Lord has taken all of that away. I think a lot of times when we think of God, we think of the one who's very quick to judge. He has every right as sovereign of this world to be the one quick to judge. But yet he takes away the judgments, he says. He says he doesn't hold that against us. I remember when I was first kind of answering the call into ministry, first getting into ministry, when I was still in college and studying, my first church I was at was a Lutheran church. It was a church that I hadn't been accustomed to. I'd grown up, at least in high school, in the Nazarene church. And I've served in the Nazarene church since graduating from college. But while I was in college, I was a youth pastor at a Lutheran church. And I remember in the first couple of Sundays, they just do church differently than the way I'd grown up. And even quite a bit different than here, too. And a lot of their prayers, a lot of their responses are pre-written, and they are the same kind of phrases week in and week out. And whereas we still have, you know, we have an order of service that pretty much is familiar, you know what comes next, they did as well. But whereas, like, for instance, I had a prayer earlier and where I, you know, that was an extemporaneous prayer. If you've been here a while, you know sometimes I repeat phrases. But nonetheless, it was extemporaneous. It was my heart to God. And in the Lutheran church, a lot of those prayers were pre-written. They were the same prayers each and every time. That's fine. That's just it's how they created their sense of expectation of what was going to happen in the service. But one of the prayers leading into the service was a prayer of confession. And so everyone in the church would pray the same prayer, recite the same prayer of confession. And I remember afterwards, after that prayer, the pastor then said, I now declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins. And I remember when I first heard him say that, my first thought was, wait a minute, what? Did he just say he was going to forgive us our sins? Wait, what? Because I know the New Testament says only Jesus does that. And so I had to think about it for a moment. I think I thought about it all week, came back, heard him say it again. I now declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins. I said, oh, he's saying, I'm declaring to you that God has forgiven you. He wasn't saying, I forgive. He said, I'm declaring to you that God has forgiven, which is a wonderful declaration. It's a way of saying, if you confess your sins, if you confess to God that He is Lord, you want Him to be Lord in your life, you don't have to worry that He holds any judgment against you. The pastor was doing what Zephaniah was doing for the people of Israel when he says, the Lord has taken away judgments against you. In the Nazarene church, the way that we most often had those prayers for forgiveness is would be kneeling down here at the front front altar rail. We would pray for forgiveness. Or sometimes in Sunday school, or sometimes in personal meetings, where there would be a prayer for forgiveness. In each one of those moments, a pastor would say to the one praying, "The Lord forgives you if you've asked Him for forgiveness." It's basically speaking prophetically what Zephaniah says, the Lord doesn't hold any more judgment against you. And this is good news. This is a reason for joy. He's saying the Lord doesn't want to hold things against us. He isn't wanting to be the God who just looks down upon us, the one who we wonder, if I walk into the church, is lightning bolt going to strike me? You know, no, God is our God is the one who wants to forgive us, wants to welcome us into His glory. And so he continues to talk about what this Lord is going to do. And he says to him, he says, you're not going to have to fear disaster anymore. Early on in the week, I found myself thinking of the kinds of disasters that we face in our life. And then, boom, right there in front of us, Saturday, we're like, disaster strikes in sometimes the harshest ways that are very prevalent, that can absolutely shake up a town, a city, a state, even a nation. And so I found myself praying for Kentucky and find myself hearing this word and saying, yeah, this is a word of hope in the midst of the worst that sometimes happen, to know that there is coming a time when the Lord says there will be no more disaster that you have to worry about. That this prophetic word is a word for them to hear, for them, that God cares about you right now and will be with you right now. But this is also pointing to the return of Christ, when all the disasters of this world are taken care of. And this is the way he kind of talks about this. He says, the Lord your God is in your midst. I realized that this is a realization I had, oh man, about 6 months ago. I don't know if I was listening back to a sermon or if I had just looked at some of my notes over the last few weeks. And I realized that when the phrase I used again and again to talk about God with us, in Advent we say Emmanuel, that I had used a lot of times in my sermons, I had said a lot of times, in our midst. And I just realized, man, that was just like a catchphrase I had held on to. And then I was reading this. I'm like, oh, good, I'm in good company. Zephaniah says it a couple times too. And so, he says, the analogy he gives us is, the Lord is the warrior who gives victory. That the Lord is fighting for us. Where there is sin, where there is struggle, the Lord is there and He is on our side. When he speaks about the warrior who gives victory, the warrior who rejoices over us, means that he is saying the Lord is with you right there in that struggle, in the midst of that struggle. In moments of great temptation, I think we're often tempted to assume God's absent. In moments where we think, I don't know, is God there? Is God watching? Whatever. We wonder, did the Spirit of Christ, did He leave us? Because why am I facing this or that? And what's going on here? It's easy to think in moments of where we've messed up to think, okay, God must have left me in that moment. But according to the prophet, he says, no, the Lord is the warrior who is with you in that. Imagine if we face temptation and we say to ourselves, God's with me right now and He wants me to overcome. So whenever there are moments where we're tempted to anger or tempted to lust or tempted to lying or manipulation or gossip or taking advantage or any number of sins, maybe the sins mentioned in Luke in our reading of extorting people or taking advantage of people, any number of sins that we could face in those moments, instead of saying, man, I wish I didn't have to face this, or I wish this wasn't here, or man, if only, is God watching while I wrestle with this? To be able to claim the truth that Zephaniah says, that the Lord is with you right now, wants to help you have victory over that, is so encouraging and gives me joy to know that God is with us in each and every moment to say, you can be victorious. God hasn't left us, but He's actively fighting on our behalf right now, that we can indeed live faithfully in those moments. I think sometimes we've been trained to think of God as someone who just waits for us to slip up, to rain down judgment. Well, what if we could recover that image of the God who stands victorious with us? The prophet tells us he rejoices over us and indeed renews us in his love, is the phrase there in verse 17. That he renews us in his love to see the God as one who says, I want the best for you, and I have a plan and a future, and I'm leading you there. This prophecy is one that was good news for the people of Israel. When Zephaniah spoke this, they heard this and they said, yes, this is great. They had started to turn things around and they were so excited to see this. The people of God recognized that this promise and this joy that Zephaniah had for the people was something that was embodied in Jesus Christ. That as they continue to search for and look for, indeed, salvation from the disaster, salvation from their enemies, salvation from their sins, salvation from that which shames them and causes them a disability, that which comes against them. They found themselves yearning for God to do this fully, and they found it embodied in Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about what He does in our life, when we talk about the salvation of Jesus, we don't just mean, of course, salvation from the guilt of sin, although there can be that. And we don't just mean salvation from the punishment of sin, although there is that as well, that indeed God says there will be no judgment. But Jesus brings salvation over the power of sin as well, over its oppressive yoke, over the feeling that, oh man, I'm just always going to have to deal with this or that, or this is just how I am, or this is just my thorn in my side, to borrow a phrase that Paul uses. I don't even think he's referring to a sin he constantly commits or something like that. We just say, oh, well, this is just what I'm dealing with. But Zephaniah says he's the warrior with us that wants to stand victorious with us. That God has a plan and a means by which we can be victorious over that which has held us back for too long. That this is part of the praise, that in turning completely over to God, that God has a plan and desire to live with us and to see us through the worst that can happen. This is indeed the way in which He wants us to see this passage for us today, that we can be filled with the presence of God and that He will see us through the worst that comes our way. I mean, there is a future element to this as well. I mean, admittedly, the prophet in this section of Zephaniah doesn't talk too much about individual sin and those temptations and those trials. A lot of what he talks about here is outward problems, outward travails of this world, the enemies that surround, the disasters that spring up, the illnesses that infect, or the shame he talks about that comes from those who, you know, wield their influence like a schoolyard bully, you know, trying to keep people in their place. He says, I'm going to turn that shame into praise. I'm going to save those people. And so there is a sense of promise in this as well, that there is indeed a future in which all the kind of darkness, all the kind of looking around because we're hoping and expecting something more is going to be dealt with and answered. The sense of promise that God is with us, to battle with us, to sit in the trenches with us, renews us. And if we see that this God who is with us, we can dare to have hope. We can dare to find joy even in those dark moments, because we know even in those moments, there is a victorious God who is with us. And there is a God who is renewing us in our love, or in His love. And there is a God who has promised to restore us. And so this season and this time, we remember with Zephaniah that our Lord has never forgotten us and is always with us. And that is indeed a reason for celebration. And that even in the hardest moments, we can say, okay, but I know God's got this. And those moments, like I said at the beginning, those moments are hard when you're in the midst of the war as a soldier, when you're in the midst of labor as a new mother, when you're in the midst of the job hunt as someone who is struggling to pay the bills, when you're in the midst of whatever it is. But when you see indeed that God is with you and know that ultimately He is going to see you through, you know that God has a plan and a future for you in this life and in the life to come. And that is one that in those moments can say, even when the storms come, even when the foundations are shaken, the one thing that remains steadfast is God is with us. The one thing that remains steadfast is that Jesus has always welcomed us into the family of God, into His eternal kingdom. And we have a place and we have a future with God. And God has a presence, a present right now with us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these words from the prophet. These words that speak to us today to let us know that You are the God who desires to withhold judgment in our life. You are the God who wants to be victorious in our life. And so, Heavenly Father, today we come before You. And in a moment, we're going to pray that You'd forgive our debts. And Heavenly Father, You know what those debts look like. You know where indeed we've fallen short. But yet to think that You're the God who said, I don't want to hold this against You. I don't want to judge You for that. I want to be victorious in love in Your life. That Heavenly Father, that we would be able to pray that and know without a doubt that You are the God that has welcomed us with open arms. Heavenly Father, it's my hope this season that we get ready to celebrate that You came, as we sang just this last song, that You came in this born a baby in a manger. In the face of a world that wanted to reject You, that You are the God who today still desires to be with us. You send Your Spirit to be with us. And Lord, we are once again waiting for that final arrival where the resurrected one comes and indeed makes right all the sins, the crucifixions, the sorrows of this world. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for that promise. And while we wait for that, we will take joy in knowing You are the God who is always faithful, and You are the God who is the warrior at our side. Thank You again, Lord, for that promise and that joy that You can give. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.